hope. That's our theme this year for Christmas, the hope of Christmas. And today's message is hope is here. Hope is here. You know, it's a popular statement that I heard. I heard it many, many years ago, and I'm not sure who said it first, but it goes like this. Human beings can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but we cannot live 4 seconds without hope. And that's such a true statement, you know. I don't know that there's anybody in this place that's tried to go 40 days without food. You know, anybody? Anybody ever try to go 40 days? Okay, anybody ever make it to 40 days without food? All the hands went down. They tried. I tried. But, you know, and I don't know if you've ever gone 4 days without water. I hope not. I hope you've never. And let's hope that you never tried to go more than 4 minutes without air, all right? But anybody remember holding your breath as a child, trying to, like, hold the breath competition? Anybody remember that? Okay. Who was, like, raise your hand if you were, like, the best at that. Like, you always won. Okay, a couple people in the room. I didn't, man. I was terrible at that. Like, I went, like, 4 seconds, and I'm like, you know? I had smoker's lung at four. Just joking. But we need hope. We need hope. And I think we all understand that. I think if you were here last week and you heard Danielle's message, what a powerful message, amen? Yeah. That we carry hope. We deliver hope. You know, as followers of Jesus, we deliver hope. And that's what we're called to do. So you cannot, let me just say this, you cannot deliver something you don't have. If you don't have the true hope of Christmas, the true hope of Jesus, then it's hard for you to deliver it. And you can say you have it, but you're really not pregnant with it. You know? You can say you have it, and you're really not pregnant with it. And I just want to say this, and then I'll get right into the message, but last week when she was preaching that message, I thought about something when she was talking about being pregnant with hope, like Mary was pregnant, and I thought about, have you ever heard the stories of those people, those ladies who would tell people they were pregnant but they never were? And I thought about that. I thought about how sometimes, this is just how my mind works when I'm listening to messages. You know, I'm thinking about things that the Lord's bringing up in my heart. I'm sure you're the same way. And I thought about, is that the way it is? Isn't that the way it is sometimes with followers of Jesus or Christians? That we say we have the hope of Jesus, but we really don't. And in our quiet time, in our quiet place alone, in our homes where nobody's there and nobody can see, deep in our hearts, we feel hopeless. But we say we follow the hope of the world. And I think it's important for us to be real and to say, if that's the case, to say, Lord, I need hope. I need hope. I tell people I have hope. I tell people I follow you. I tell people that I'm pursuing you, but in my heart I feel hopeless. We're not doing any good for ourselves if we just keep putting on a front and telling people one thing but feeling this way in our hearts. We have to be open and real and say, you know, this is how I feel. I don't feel that hope that everybody's talking about. And when you do that, when you start there, then you can start to move toward receiving that hope. Humans seek after hope like moths seek after light. It's intrinsic to who we are. Neuroscientist Tali Sherratt says that hope is so essential to our survival that it is hardwired into our brains. He argues that it can be the difference between living a healthier life versus living one trapped by despair. Studies show that hopeful college students get higher GPAs and are more likely to graduate. Studies also show that hopeful athletes perform better on the field and cope better with injuries and have greater mental adjustment when situations change. In one study of the elderly, they said that those who said that they felt hopeless were more than twice as likely to die during the follow-up period of the study than those who said they were hopeful. It's pretty clear that hope is powerful. It's pretty clear that it does something in our hearts and in our lives that we don't understand fully and we cannot see, but it's happening. Amen? Dr. Shane Lopez, he is the psychologist who is regarded as the world's leading researcher on hope. And he claimed that hope isn't just an emotion, but it's an essential life tool. Now, this is a secular psychologist who believes that hope is an essential life tool, not just an emotion. Many people will tell you hope is an emotion, but it's not. And if it's an essential life tool, then it has to come from somewhere eternal. Amen? It can't be something that you work up. It can't be something that you manufacture. It has to come from somewhere supernatural. And we know where that comes from. And maybe we perk up a little bit more when we talk about this topic because we live in what appears to be an increasingly hopeless world. We do. We live in a world with broken governments and climate changes and wars and famines and earthquakes and all of these things that are taking place. And it seems that our world continuously and constantly is getting worse. It's on a path toward destruction. And so I'm sure that when we hear about this eternal hope that will not let us down, we all kind of go, what? Not to add that our own lives aren't free from trouble. Some of us find ourselves in the throes of difficulties. Maybe it's divorce, or maybe we're struggling with children with addictions or some form of rebellion. Or maybe it's despair that comes from a chronic illness that we've been struggling with, or it may be something that we've been struggling with mentally. But no matter what the reason, it's easy to get to a place where joy feels in short supply, and pain and anxiety come by the truckload, it feels like. And it all feels so hopeless. Many react in different ways, but many react out of desperation. Some draw into themselves and they circle the emotional wagons and close the world off where friendships die and futures fade. Others do the opposite. They live with frivolity and gaiety. They party it up, drinking and food or drug, and trying to forget for a moment the pressure cooker of their lives and what that has become. And here's the thing. The sad thing is it doesn't break us free. It makes us more slaves than we've ever been. Neither of these extremes work, either to close ourselves off or to just go out and live it up. It just makes us less than ourselves, and deep down inside, we know it. And if we could only have hope. And that's where the danger lies. Where do we find our hope? Where do we find it? Some fear loneliness, so they place their hope in the idea of having a spouse, getting married. They'll find that guy or that gal, and they'll get hitched, and they'll have kids. But surely some of us have lived long enough to see that one of the things that pokes holes in the balloon of having your spouse as your hope is finally getting a spouse. It turns out that our spouses are broken people too. Others fear being destitute. They place their hope in money, and they work. But how many times have you seen someone who has made their bank account their hope? And they do so at the expense of their family. There's a thin veneer of togetherness, but in reality, no one in that family really knows each other. They're just roommates in a really big house. Still others fear getting sick, so they're fanatical about eating well and exercising as much as they can and taking their vitamins and all of those things, and their hope is in their health. But, well, I hate to break it to you, but you're going to get old anyway. No matter how much you work out, No matter how good you eat, you're going to get old. And guess what? If the Lord doesn't return, if Jesus doesn't come back in the clouds before this time, you're going to die. It's true. I hate to tell you, but it's going to happen. You know? And I'm not saying not to take care of yourself. Right? I was going to make a joke about, listen, I can keep eating Twinkies and you can keep working out. We're both going to die. It's true. Just because I'd rather die eating Twinkies than pumping iron, that's my business. That's funny, and you know it is. Listen, let me give you another one. I got one up on you. I just get to see Jesus sooner. You think you're winning. Not. You know, the funny thing about this, I haven't eaten a Twinkie in so long. The other day, I was at the store, and I saw somebody grab a box of Twinkies. I said, I should probably just eat one, because I say I eat them all the time, so I should probably just grab one. Not that I eat anything better than Twinkies. I don't. I eat a ton of junk, let me tell you, but it's delicious. Oh, it's so good. So good. Yes. But I think we should, obviously, getting married is a good thing. I have a wonderful marriage. I have a beautiful spouse. I love her dearly. She's my best friend. We do everything together. Like, she is my very best friend. I tell her that all the time. I tell her that every day. She is. I tell her, I'm able just to, I wouldn't want to do life without her. But she is not my hope. My hope is not in Kim. I love her. I want her. I never want to do this without her. But she's not my hope. You know, I thank the Lord for the job that I get to do. This is a blessing to be able to pastor a church. It's a blessing. It really is. I thank the Lord for the other jobs that he's had me do over the years. I thank the Lord that I was a successful restaurant manager sometimes. And I thank the Lord for the way he blessed us financially through all of the years. But that's not my hope. I thank the Lord that, you know, I still can do all the things that I've been able to do growing up. I can still lift things, and I can still walk, and I still have health. You know, I can chase my grandsons around the house and around the yard, and I can still catch them. Not for long, but I can catch them. And I'm holding on to that as long as I can. But I thank the Lord for that health. But that's not my hope. Our hope has to be in something eternal. And there's only one thing, and you know what it is. And so I put my hope in that. You know, talking about health, a few years ago, I went to the doctor, and I joked, you know, I was at the doctor, and I joked. I said, man, I'm not, you know, this is several years back. See, I'm 59 now, so this is like just before I turned 50. It's about 10 years ago, and I remember joking, and I said, you know, I'm not even 50 yet. I think I was 49. I said, I'm not even 50 yet, and, like, I'm falling apart. Anybody ever feel that way? You know? I remember people telling me, wait till you turn 40, and the wheels fall off. And I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, if you live to be 80, then that's halfway point, and the wheels fall off halfway? But I turned 40, and I was good. But, man, I got to be about 49. I was like, things started to happen, and I was like, man, I'm not even 50 yet. And I said, I've come to see you a lot this year. And she said, oh, don't worry. In about 10 or 15 years, I'll see you all the time. And I kind of chuckled like you did, and then she left the room, and I crawled in the corner and started crying. Rocking back and forth. We cannot, whether it's marriage, wealth, health, those are all fine, but we cannot, that cannot be our hope. So the question is, what is your hope in? It's not, do you need hope or do you even have hope? It's, what is your hope in? In Matthew 24, verse 3 says this. Look at this. Look at Matthew 24. Go to verse 3 through verse 14 and watch what Jesus says. He says, later Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and his disciples came to him privately and they said, tell us when all this will happen. What will be your sign? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? And Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but then the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the beginning of birth pains with more to come. I want to stop there for a second. Remember what Daniel spoke about last week about birthing hope. And Jesus here in this passage of scripture is talking about troubles and tribulations and trials and that this was only the beginning of birth pains. But watch what he says in verse 9. He says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Can I just stop and say, Matthew 24, verse 9, is not the most encouraging verse in the Bible. Okay? Anybody? Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Anybody in here a follower of Jesus Christ? It's not ashamed to say it? Okay. There's your promise. Yep. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. So he's combining these two. This is all one thought. And he's saying, look, this is what's going to happen. This is what's coming. Okay? This will take place. I don't know about you, but I know by looking at the signs that Jesus talked about, we're there. We are at this place in history, in time, where this is happening right now. Many are being arrested and persecuted and killed. You say, well, I don't see that in my neighborhood. Well, you live in the United States of America, okay? So count your blessings because you live in a place right now where that's not happening. But I can tell you about many places around the world where people that say they're followers of Jesus Christ, and they are not shy about it. They say they're followers. They will not deny him. But by doing that, they risk death every day. They risk being killed every day by proclaiming that they're followers of Jesus. And it's happening daily all around the world. People are being arrested and persecuted and killed. And I'm telling you right now, this is coming to our country. You say, well, I don't see the government doing that. No, the government's not doing that in our country right now. But there are people who are killing those who call themselves Christians in our country right now. Watch the news. It's all over. It's happening. We see it on a consistent basis now, and it's going to only get worse. I'm not trying to put fear. I'm trying to show you what the Lord is about to show us, because there's something at the end of this passage that's powerful. Okay? And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. See, the Lord is saying this. Look, when you're going to go through this, but when you go through this, you have to have hope, because if you don't have hope, you will turn away. One another. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people, and sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But watch verse 13. But the one who endures to the end. You know what that word endures means in the Greek? It is the Greek and emphatically. Did I give you that pass? That I did. Can you put that up there if you have it? Here, absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials to hold fast to one's faith in Jesus Christ. So when he says, but the one who endures till the end will be saved, he's not just saying, just endure. Like when we use the word endure, I don't know about you, but I've always felt the word endure is just, man, just make it through. Just get, if I can just make it, right? If I can just get, if it's by the skin of my, if I can just make it through, you know, I don't know how much more, because this is how we usually say, I don't know how much more of this I can endure. How many of you said that before? I don't know how much more of this I can endure. That's not the kind of endure that Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about you just crawling on your belly, barely making it to the finish line. This endure is absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes and trials and tribulations and all the things that come your way to hold fast to your faith in Jesus Christ. It's so it doesn't have to look like you. I'm not going to do it, but just picture in your mind, get me on my belly, just crawling, trying to make it to the finish line. It doesn't have to look like that. It can look like you standing here strong and taking a strong step of faith and another strong step of faith, one after another, headed toward the finish line with the hope of Jesus Christ in your heart. You know what he promised you. You know what he said to you. You know in that personal moment with you when Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, I will do this in your life. I will see you through to the end. I will come through for you like I promised I would. And so you have to remind yourself of that. You have to build yourself up in the Lord. That's the hope of Jesus building up inside of you. You're like, yeah, I might be going through this, but I have hope. Amen. And this isn't a hope that fades away. It endures. It's a living hope. There's a prophetic scripture about Jesus in Isaiah that's quoted in Matthew chapter 12, and it says this, Matthew 12, 21, and his name will be the hope of all the world. His name, Jesus, is the hope of all the world. He is our hope. Jesus is the hope. So what is your hope in? It should be in Jesus. Because he's the hope of all the world. Jesus, he will never leave you. He will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. He will never hurt you. He will never break a promise. He will never be fickle. He will never lose patience with you. He will never be self-serving. He will never hold a grudge. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that, right? He will never give up on you when pressure comes. He will always see your worth. He will always cheer you on. He will always stand in the gap for you. He will always defend you. He will always see the best in you. Won't you put your hope in Jesus today? He's the hope of the world. He is it. There is no other thing. It's not Jesus plus something else. You don't need anything else. If you have Jesus in your life, he's all you need. He's the hope of the world. So what does it look like? It looks like I have Jesus, so I have the living hope. I'm thankful for all the other things he's put in my life, but I don't need any of them. I only need him. Amen. I'm going to make it because of that. And you know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, we got it. But how often do we slip and start putting our hope in other things? Here's how I know for myself personally. I'm just going to talk about me, and if it fits for you, great. If Holy Spirit convicts you, great. But here's how I know for myself. Is when I'm going through life, going through my day, and something happens. I could name some things. Maybe something breaks at the house. Anybody ever have something break? Something go wrong? Right? What happens in your heart if you're Come on, y'all. Let's just get real. Right? If your heart sinks, because I'm telling you, we know all the scriptures. If you're a follower and you have been for a while, you know the scriptures, that he will take care of you. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen? Is that scriptural? Is it a promise from God? So is it true? Yeah. So if he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, then don't you think he knew that this was going to happen? And don't you think he had a plan? Yeah. I have to remind myself of these things, man. You know, I'm like, because I'll catch myself doing it sometimes, like, oh, no. Anybody ever say that when something happens? Oh, no. Right? Well, what are we supposed to say? Yay! The furnace broke again. Yay! I'm so excited about this. Well, I mean, in a roundabout way, if we're following him and he knows everything and he's going to supply all our needs, then he has a plan. And he does. Amen? He does. And so when the furnace breaks, you're like, okay, Lord, I know you got this. I mean, that really, if we're really walking strong, enduring in hope, then we know, right? I could get really off on this, like deep in the weeds on this, but I'm not going to. But I will say this to you. I often have these conversations with the Lord, you know, in my mind, sometimes out loud, you know, about these type of things. Because, like, think about it. This world is not our home. This is temporary. The Bible says this is a mist, right? Bill, is this a mist? You're real old. You should know. Is this a mist? Did it happen fast? Yeah? Did it seem like you were just a teenager a couple years ago? Yeah, see? See? He still thinks he's a teenager. I mean, but you're not. Some of you guys look at me like, man, that's mean. No, we got this relationship. I can pick on him, and then he'll come up here and talk about how he beats me at golf all the time. So, no, seriously, like, this is not our home. Why do we work so hard to hold on to what we have here? Do you ever think about that? Why do we work so hard to hold on to what we have here? Jesus said it like this. I'll remind you, because I know you know the scripture. But it's in Matthew 6, 25 through 31. But he says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, say it with me, there your heart will be also. How about I say it to you like this? For where your treasure is, there your hope will be also. You ever think about it like that? Because where our heart is where our hope is. Amen? So listen, we're about to fly the coop, man. This world, psh, right? And this world can have this world. I don't want this world. I just want to see Jesus. I'm ready to see Jesus. And the more you go through this life, and the more you go and experience the trials of this life, the more you feel that way. Amen? Please let me go home, Jesus, please. That's why the writers in the Gospels were saying that. That's why the writers in the New Testament were saying, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Like, let's go. Amen. So let me say this. He won't force you. But if you're willing, he's ready to be your only hope. I want you to watch this video. Gotta have the sound. Let's stop it. Let's start it again. Anybody? There we go. Thank you. Amen. Jesus made us a couple promises in Matthew 28:20. It says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And then in John 16:33, Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He is the hope of the world.